Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shkalim, daf Vav. We're a little bit behind. We're on daf Hey. We're starting the new perek today. We are on the second perek of Shkalim. There are eight perakim altogether in Shkalim. And now we're going to be discussing more of the terms of the process of the money being transported from the owner to the Beis HaMikdash. For the first perek, we were speaking more about the calendarical construct of Shkalim, meaning what point exactly do we collect the Shkalim? When? When is really the first perek? Is the main topic. So we were talking in the first parak as far as the first month of Adar being the day which we started everyone reminding everybody about the shekel, and then as we move to the 15th and then as we move to the 25th day of Adar, so more and more pressure is mounted against the people in order for that they bring the shekel. They're bringing it for the first day of Nisan, and the first day of Nisan because that's the fiscal year, the beginning of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. That's really the, in a sense, the synopsis of the first parak. The second parak now is going to be dealing more with the how, with the process of the actual bringing of the shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So the first point the Mishnah makes is as follows: Mitzarfin l'shkalim l'darkonos, minei masu aderech. Shkalim are silver coins, so one or two of coins are fine. Five coins may be okay, but once you're dealing with hundreds of coins, maybe even thousands of coins, and transporting them from wherever they were collected to the Beis HaMikdash, obviously is going to be onerous. So the Mishnah says what you can do is that you could take the silver coins and you can exchange them for a gold coin, what's called a darkon. A darkon is equivalent to 4 chatzi shekels. So in other words, so basically what you did, and the metal content in the darkon is gold and the shekel is silver. So basically now what you're going to do is, because you're going to consolidate, so basically for every four shkalim there's going to be one darkon, so you've at least quartered, made the weight into a quarter. I true of the matter is my numbers could be totally off, because I don't know how much gold we're talking about in terms of exchanging for silver. Could be even a darkon, could even be a smaller coin, whatever the case is. But the point being is that you could do that in order to save yourself the load, the physical weight. The Mishnah says because of the burden of the weight. Now there were shofars everywhere. Again, the term shofar, which you're going to be hearing again and again throughout Shkalim, shofar is a pushka. It was in the shape of a shofar, which is why it was called a shofar. So pushkas are everywhere. Pushkas are going to be in the Medina, out in the provinces. Pushkas are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash as well, in the area of Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Okay, and the Gemara is going to comment a little bit about that line in the Mishnah. Okay, and now a discussion of liability. The Mishnah talks about the following. In other words, I'm probably not going to schlep my shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, so I'm going to get an agent to do so. I'll get a shlich to do so. Okay, so in other words, basically the mailman. And we speak here about his liabilities. Now what he's doing is he's transporting the shekel. Now this is going to get complicated, and the reason why this is complicated, because it's not just a simple, he's transporting something for me that belongs to me. No, he's transporting something for me, but it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So in terms of liability now, it's going to get complicated, because I'm not the owner of the item that's being transported. I'm responsible for the item that's being transported, but I'm not the owner of it. So now the issue is going to be, what kind of responsibility, liability, does a shliach have where he's transporting something that doesn't belong to me, but I'm on the hook for that item?
Was it getting paid?
The Mishnah doesn't say, the Gemara will talk about it. So Bnei Shashachu Sheklem Benignu Shavdu. So the Bnei is sent with a shliach, and either the shkalim were stolen or lost. In Nitrima Truma Nishban LeGizbarim. So if the truma was already taken off, if there was a withdrawal, so then they make a shvu to the gizbar. Okay, so let's slow down. Let's explain this line of the Mishnah as well. As we already discussed previously, and we get to review again. So all the money was collected into a chamber, right? All the shkalim that came from all parts of Eretz Yisrael, and even outside of Eretz Yisrael, as we discussed in the first parak. So they're all going to go into a chamber. That's called the Lishka. Now, we understand that not every coin is going to get there by the first day of Nisan. In fact, there may even be a cash flow, like a continual deposit of money into the Lishka over the course of the year, as monies are being collected from parts everywhere, geographically everywhere. Good. That we all understand. But what the Mishnah over here is describing is as follows. And we saw this before, and we get to see it again also in the future. that all the money that was collected into the Lishka is not going to be used towards the purchasing of karbanos. We don't need all that money, meaning there's surplus. And later in the Masechta, we'll talk about what we do with the surplus. But what happens is that three times a year, before the Yontifs, 15 days before every one of the Yontifs, so there would be a withdrawal, a formal withdrawal from the Lishka. This is what's called the Trumas Lishka, where the Gizbarim would go in, the treasurers would go in with a bucket, and take a physical withdrawal. And this is not, it's not a wire transfer. A physical withdrawal of the Shkalim from the Lishka, and that money would be used to buy the Karbanos. Okay, so there would be, and all the rest of the money would be called Shirayim, or Mosar. There would be residual of the Shkalim. Good. Okay, that's what's referred to as the Trumas HaLishka. When the Trumas HaLishka is done, so a withdrawal is done, obviously the withdrawal is against all the monies that are physically present in the Lishka. What we're going to be discussing over the course of this morning is that perhaps we're going to argue that not only is the withdrawal against the physical money in the Lishka, but it's also against all monies that are coming in, meaning so that they are counted against actual money here and receivables that are coming in. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah here is describing. So now when the Shliach is en route to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Truma in the Beis HaMikdash is done, so that Truma now is going against not only the monies that are in the Lishka, but the money that's being held by the Shliach as well. That money is also factored in. The Truma is done against that money as well. Mishnah says, if that's so, in Truma Nishban Ligizbarim. So then the Mishnah says, so now it is incumbent upon the Shliach to make a shvua, to make an oath to the Gizbar, to the temple treasurer, and say, look, I'm really sorry, it was stolen, it was lost, it's my fault, but I'm exempt. Because what it sounds like he's doing is he's making a claim that would exempt him. We'll talk more about this later on. V'imlav nishman levnei ha'ir, however, if the theft or the loss occurred before the Trumas HaLishka, so now the Shlech will turn back to the Bnei Ha'ir, back to the town people, the ones who actually gave the shekel, and say, look, I'm really sorry, it was stolen or lost, and he's going to make a shvua to the townspeople. Okay, Uvnei Ha'ir shoklim tachtehem. And the Bnei Ha'ir have to now give a new shekel, because their shekel didn't make it, and so they're on the hook for it to bring another shekel. Nimsu o sheikh zir maganavim. Now, the old shekel, the original shekels, I should say, was stolen or lost. And now the Bnei Ha'ir replaced them with new shekelim. And now the old ones were found. Or the thief had a change of heart and he returned it. So, eilu ve'eilu shekelim, ve'ein olam lahem l'shana haba. They both have shekel status. And no, says the Mishnah, you cannot apply one of those shekels to the next year. Right? You want to make the simple argument to the Beis HaMikdash, look, I gave twice, but you understand why I gave twice? We lost the first ones, and then I replaced it. So can't we just simply take one of them and apply them to next year? The Mishnah says, no, you cannot. Okay. They all go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash will use the windfall for better kabayis, repair, new projects, whatever they decide to use it for. But it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. First things first, the Gemara starts off, Yasu of some Margolios. Just in terms of making a lighter. So what did our Mishnah say? So silver can be transferred to gold. Okay, and the gold is obviously of a higher value with less weight. So great. So why not pearls? Meaning the Mishnah just simply says there's something specific about gold. Pearls also, highly valuable, small. So why not pearls? So Shema Tazilah Margolios v'nimtza ha'ekdash mafsid. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because pearls fluctuate in price. A terrible fluctuation of price regarding pearls. Gold is a little bit more standard. It's a little more stable, but good. But pearls are not. And so therefore, I transfer all the shekel onto the pearls. And then when it comes time to re-transfer the pearls back into silver, I may end up with less silver because the value of the pearls went down. Kihid taninan taman. We learned in the Mishnah over there. V'kula niftim bekesef v'sheva kesef chutz mishkalim. You could be poda. In other words, you have hektesh and you want to redeem the hektesh. So you could be poded onto money, sheva kesef, anything of value, with exception to the shekel, because the shekel has to be a specific value. And if I'm poded onto something where it fluctuates in value, So then Hektish stands to lose money. The important Mikalim, an additional, says the Gemara, is that I can't transfer it onto Kalim, meaning any item. The Machitz, the Seshekel, cannot be transferred, its Kedush cannot be transferred to any item. Gold is the only acceptable transferable item. Same reason, because a kli fluctuates in price. Could be that it's going to go; its value is going to go down, and the base of mikdash is going to stand to lose. Fine. Period. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah is speaking specifically about new shkalim, but not by old shkalim. Now, what does that mean? It means as follows. First of all, we're commenting on the Mishnah, on the line in the Mishnah, the next line in the Mishnah that says that shofars were placed everywhere so that collections can be done. Yes, shofars were placed everywhere so that collections were could be done, but only collections for this year. Meaning tiklin atikin. Tiklin atikin means last year shkalim. Meaning, very, very possible there are people out there who didn't give shekel last year. Okay, they didn't participate. Not right. They obviously missed on their mitzvah. So what they want to do is they want to make up. So they can bring it. For the base of mikdash's standpoint, that monies that were collected is not going to help for their operation. But what you'll do is you'll give last year's shekel. It's what's called tikkun atikin. You'll give it to the base of mikdash and they'll use it for temple upkeep and any other monetary needs they need, but not for karbanas. Karbanas can only be used from tikkun chadatin, from this year's monies. Fine. Shofars were placed all around and even in the provinces, but not for the collection of tikkun atikin. If you have old debt to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to actually bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, which is Nikain, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa that teaches us exactly this point. Atikin b'mikdash v'ein atikin b'medina. Pushkas that were collecting the old monies were only in the Beis HaMikdash. There were no pushkas in the provinces to collect old money. Okay. Adkan, period. Next topic. Okay, we are on Hayamud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And now we're going to be talking about the Shliach and his responsibility. Now, what happened in the Mishnah? So I gave my shekel to the Shliach. Shliach now is running to the Beis HaMikdash, and he either loses it, it's an Aveda, or it's stolen from him. Geneva. Now, what do we know? So let's go over the basics, the ground rules. The ground rules go like this. He's basically a shomer, right? He's a custodian responsible for the item. In the world of Shmira, let's just deal with two. You're either a Shomer Chinam or you're a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Chinam, I'm not paid. Shomer Sachar, I'm paid. As you can imagine, once you get paid, so you have more responsibility. If you're doing it pro bono, you have less responsibility. That's intuitive. It's obvious. Now, in terms of what kind of responsibility you have, as a Shomer Chinam, because you have less responsibility, so if the item was lost or stolen, so basically you go back to the owner of the item and say, look, sorry, item was lost or stolen. Right? In other words, lost, by the way, lost is always hard to understand, meaning that's really not your fault. Okay, but loss is a natural consequence of life. With life, we lose things. So, okay, it is hard to understand. But under the cases of loss or theft, you go back to the original owner, you make a shvua, you make an oath, and say, look, I was just a shomer chinam, I didn't have that kind of responsibility, that liability, and therefore the item was lost or stolen, I swear it was lost or stolen, I swear I didn't misappropriate it, and you're off the hook, you're cleared. Okay, that's if you're a shomer chinam. If you're a shomer sachar, it's really not going to help you, because a shomer sachar is going to be responsible even for loss and even for theft. Okay. So, our Mishnah says, what's the story with the shliach? If the coin, if the shekel was either lost or stolen, so he's going to make a shvua. So who are we talking about? Seems to be the simple pshat in the Mishnah would seem to be that we're talking about a shomer chinam, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. Ma'asisim b'shomer chinam, ava b'shomer sachar lo b'da. Our Mishnah is talking about a shomer chinam because he's making a shvua that's going to exempt him, excuse him from any liability, even if the item was just lost or stolen, so it must be that our Mishnah is talking about a Shomer Chinam. Mishnah can't be talking about a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar is going to be responsible even for loss or theft. I'm Rabbi Abba ve'afilu Tamar be'shomer sachar. So Rabbi Abba says, no, our Mishnah could even be talking about a shomer sachar. Nignavu b'listim mezuyim avdu b'mi shetavus finasa b'yam. In other words, even a shomer sachar, even though he has a higher level of responsibility to ensure the security of the item, but there are certain things which are just simply beyond his control. For example, he's held up at gunpoint. Held up at gunpoint, you don't have to give up your life for this item. So in other words, that's what we call ones. Circumstances beyond your control. Or you put on a boat, and a great tidal wave came and swallowed the boat. So the boat was in a storm. Okay, so there, once again, you did everything you were supposed to do. So ones, circumstances beyond your control. Even a shomer sachar is going to be excused, he's going to be relieved from responsibility if it's an ones. So our Mishnah could be talking about a shomer sachar as well. I'm Rav Yustib, Rabbi Simon, Asi, Kamandam, Retoman, Alagavo, Valasila, Gavos. Okay, now, what did our Mishnah say? That if the Truma Salishka is done, and the Shliach is holding it in his hand, the Truma is done against not only the coins that are in the Beis HaMikdash, not only in the Lishka, but against all receivables as well. So that means that that coin now has been toreimed against, and that means that this belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Which our Mishnah now says, you go, you the Shliach, go to the Beis HaMikdash and swear to the Beis HaMikdash. So, Baram Kemandar, Meintomen Lo Alagaboi, Va'alasi Lagavos Lo Beda. But if you're of the opinion that the Truma is only done on the physical coins that are in the Lishka, so then you can't understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not going like that opinion. Because why would you be going to the Gizbar? Meaning, if the coin is en route to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not there yet, and the Beis HaMikdash does the Truma, it's, according to this opinion, it's not against the coin that's being held by the Shliach, and therefore there'd be no reason why the Shliach be making a Shvuah to the Gizbar. So the Gemara just simply says, okay, so our Mishnah's not going like that opinion. Okay, now we get to really one of the core discussions in this whole dilemma, in this whole scenario, and that is the following. What does our Mishnah say regarding the Shliach? He makes a Shvuah. Let's think about this. What is he making a Shvuah on? On Hektish, meaning the Shekel. The Shekel doesn't belong to you, and the shekel doesn't even belong to the original owner. Meaning, who does the shekel belong to? When you give a machitzis a shekel, you're investing it with kedusha, which means it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So now you give it to the shliach, and the shliach loses it, or it's stolen from him. It's not the shliach's. It's not even the original owner's. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And so the question over here is such a simple question. Well, I mean, it's a simple question. Remember the Mishnah Shavuos? Mishnah Shavuos says, we'll make Shavuos on money and to relieve yourself from money, but that's only Mamon Shechulin. That's only money that's owned by you and me. But money belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Shavuah on Hekdesh. So the question over here is a very simple one. Why are we having a discussion about a Shavuah? Why are you making a Shavuah on Hektish? There is no Shvuah on Hektish. The Gemara and Shvuah learns it out from Psukim. Okay. But that's just simply, that's the reality, that's the facts. The facts are we don't make a Shvuah on Hektish. So why are we having a discussion of Shvuah? So this is what bothers the Gemara. So I'm a Rabbi Laz, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, you know how you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. The money doesn't belong to the Shliach. The money doesn't belong to the original owner. However, even if it's money that you don't own, but you're responsible for that money. You have a liability for that money. If something happens to that money, you're on the hook. So this is what's called, in Pesachim, we discussed this in the beginning of the Masechta. This is what's called Davar Hagorem Lamamon. Something that causes you money. So in other words, something that causes you money, even though there's no intrinsic value to the item itself, Davar Hagorem Lamamon Kimamon Dami. It's like money. So this shekel that's being transported by the shliach, you're right. It doesn't belong to the owner. It doesn't belong to the shliach. It's the property of the hektish. It's property of the Beis HaMikdash. Absolutely true. But there's a mitzvah incumbent upon a person to bring the machatzis shekel. And if the machatzis shekel did not make it to Yerushalayim, he has to then go into his pocket and bring another machatzis shekel. So this is what's called davar hagorem lamamon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, davar hagorem lamamon is kamamon. So it says if it belongs to the owner, and that's why the shliach has to make a shvuah. The Gemara says that's how you're going to understand our Mishnah. I'll read it inside. It's like your property. Rav Yochanan says, no, we could say a different pshat. We don't have to say that pshat. We could say that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. And really, this is something that in general we would not be making a shvuah on, because this is property of the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't make a shvuah on the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have to say like Rabbi Shimon that it's a Davar Gomel Mamon, but rather Divrei Hakol Hi, Mishum Shvuah Takana. And why? Why is there a shvuah over here? This is simply a shvuah de Rabbanan. Meaning, you're right, Min HaTorah. The Torah does not obligate you to make a shvuah, because this is a shvuah on money belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a din derabbanan. Al dad Rabbi Yochanan nicha nishbaim. Okay, good. That is the pshat of Rabbi Yochanan. So al dad Rabbi Yochanan nicha nishbaim legizbaim v'yamlav nishbaim lebnei ha'ir v'nei ha'ir shoklen acharein tachteyem. So the Gemara points out that, you know, from Rabbi Yochanan's standpoint, perfect. Meaning, I get it. Because what does our Mishnah say? That on some occasions the shliach is going to be making a shvuah to the gizbar, and on some occasions the shliach is going to be making a shvuah to the balabais. It depends when the theft and loss happen. If it happened after the truma, you turn to the gizbar. If it happened before the truma, you go back to the balabais. So according to Rav Yochanan, perfect. Because think about it, you're making a shvuah to the gizbar. Well, I understand. He's on the hook. No, he's not on the hook. He'll never be on the hook. Meaning the money, money never belonged to him. He's not going to be liable if the money was lost. The money never even got to his hand. So why are you making a shvuah? Why is there ever a scenario you're making shvuah to the gizbar? So according to Rav Yochanan, the answer is simple. Because it's not a shvuah d'araisa. It's just a shvuah d'rabana. So mishum tvi shvuah takana. Ela Rabbi Elazar nishban levnei ha'ir hadahi d'Rabbi Shimon. But let's now go over Rav Elazar's approach. That this is a real shvuah. It's a shvuah d'araisa. How come? Because it's a davar hagorim lamamon. But it's only a davar hagorim lamamon for the balabayas. It's not a davar hagorim lamamon for the gizbar. Think about it. The balabayas, if the money's lost or stolen, the balabayas has to go into his pocket and compensate for the loss. Fine. So for the balabayas, it's davar hagorim lamamon. For the gizbar, what does he care? Meaning, is he going to have to reach into his pocket and take out a new shekel? No. He wasn't the one responsible. He wasn't the one who lost it. So why is the shliach ever going to go to the gizbar and make a shvuah to the gizbar? The gizbar is not going to be responsible. So according to Rabbi Lazar, where he understands the shvuah here to be a real shvuah, predicated on the position of Rabbi Shimon of Davar Hagorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami, I can only understand the shvuah made to the balabayas, not to the gizbar. So Hadai de Rabbi Shimon Nishbaim le gizbar mayavida tayu Nishbaim levne ayir b'mama gizbar. I'm sorry, this is the answer. So the Gemara. So this is a question. It's a very strong question. Answers the Gemara. Nishbaim levne ayir b'mama gizbarim. So the Gemara says we're going to give a new pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning, you're right. You're absolutely right. The Mishnah does not mean that he's going to make a shvuah to the gizbar. He's never going to make a shvuah to the gizbar. There's no reason why he would have to make a shvuah to the gizbar, because the gizbar, quite frankly, not that they don't care, they care, but they're never responsible. They were never owners of the coins. They're never responsible. What they're always going to do is they're going to make a shvuah to the owner, but the gizbar is going to be there. Why is the gizbar going to be there? The Gemara is basically going to explain. The gizbar is there basically to give disapproving looks to the shliach, right? In other words, look, they took off the trumas halishka already, so that means that the coins that were there in the lishka and all coins that are en route to the Beis HaMikdash are now designated as going to the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. And the truth of the matter is that the owner, I'm sorry, the shliach is never really, let's say it again. The gizbar is never going to have to pay. You're right. But what the gizbar wants to make sure is that this shliach is legitimate. Meaning he claims that it was lost. He claims that it was stolen. Is he right? So the gizbar, he's not swearing to the gizbar. He's simply swearing in the presence of the gizbar to make sure that he's above, meaning the shliach is above suspicion. Inami delo nishulu poshim. Or to make sure that he wasn't a posheya, meaning that it really, it wasn't a loss, it wasn't theft, he was really negligent, he's now just making up a story because I feel terrible and I'm just going to make up a story. So therefore, says the Mishnah, the shliach is the gizbar needs to be there, again, just basically to give disapproving looks. Alpha pisha kiblu b'nei ha'ir l'shalem es ha'hekdesh, yotzei, alpha pisha kiblu b'nei ha'ir l'shalem ein ha'hekdesh yotzei b'lo shvua. And even though the b'nei ha'ir accepted upon themselves to pay again, but still, in other words, the shvua is just simply going to be necessary. Okay. So again, let me just quickly recap. That part was complicated, and I got a little stuck in the middle. So let's just quickly recap. Again, our Mishnah says that the shliach now, who is responsible to bring the shekel to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Lishka, so he either lost or stolen. So the Mishnah says, okay, depending on when he lost it, before the Chumah, after Shavuah, he's going to make a Shavuah. He either is going to make a Shavuah to the Baal HaBayis, if it was before the Chumah Salishka, or he's going to make a Shavuah to the Gizbar, if it was after the Chumah Salishka. Okay, the two basic questions that the Gemara here dealt with is the following. Number one, this is money belonging to Hekdesh. Why in the world would you ever be making a Shavuah on Hekdesh? So, two basic answers. Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan says, answer number one, let me go in the order of the Gemara. Number one, Rav Elazar's answer is that it's, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, the Shita Rabbi Shimon, who says that Davar Hagarm Lamam Kamamun, meaning you're right, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. However, because the owners need that money to get to the Beis HaMikdash, and if that money doesn't get to the Beis HaMikdash, they're on the hook. Being on the hook is like it's your money, even though the money itself doesn't belong to you. But responsibility for the money makes it like your money. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and that's why the Shlech goes back to the Baal HaBayis and makes a Shavuah to the Baal HaBayis. According to Rav Elazar, the Gemara points out it's difficult. Why would he ever be making a Shavuah to the Gizbar? And so therefore the Gemara has to end up saying, you're right. According to Rav Elazar, he never makes a Shavuah to the Gizbar. He's always making a Shavuah to the Baal HaBayis. It's just a question of, do we need the Gizbar there as well or not? And under certain circumstances, we do, just to give frowning and disapproving looks to the Gizbar can give disapproving looks to the Shliach. Fine. That's approach number one. Approach number two is Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, no, you don't have to say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, but rather, our Mishnah is going like Divrei Hakol, according to everybody. Why are you making a Shavuah on Hekdesh? Answer, simple answer, it's a Shavuah d'Rabbanan. It's not a Shavuah d'Araisa. The Chachamim just instituted in this scenario, look, we want people held accountable. Even though the Torah does not require Shavuah, we the Chachamim are going to institute a Shavuah in this case. And the Mishnah and the Gemara in Shavuos, if I remember correctly, goes through basic differences in terms of what's the difference between a Shavuah d'Araisa versus a Shavuah d'Rabbanan. It's not the same Shavuah. Okay, we are on Hey Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, right after the two dots, about eight lines from the top of the Amud. Here for Shekel is Shikla Va'avad. Okay, you set aside your Shekel and you lost your Shekel. Okay, just the Gemara now is just going to be dealing quickly with a scenario where you didn't give it to a Shliach, but you yourself successfully lost it. Rav Yochanan Amar Chai Be'achriyu So Ad Shiyim Serna LeGizbar Rav Shimon Malakish Amar Hektish Be'Rishus HaGavoa B'Chol Makom Shehu. So seems to be a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Seems to be. Where Rav Yochanan takes the position, well, you're responsible. Meaning, you have to bring a machitz shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. You set it aside, but you lost it. Okay, you're responsible. I don't care that your shekel's floating somewhere in your house. It doesn't matter. You're responsible, so take another coin and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish seems to say, well, no. Meaning, you set aside already a machitzes a shekel. It belongs to Hekdesh. You can't locate it right now, but that's a technicality. But it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's the way Reish Lakish's position seems to lay itself out. So Masis and Pliga, Reb Shimon Malakish. Now the Gemara notes, really? Reish Lakish, really? Meaning, what did we just learn in the Mishnah? Right. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Shliach loses it, so then the owner's on the hook. Nishban Lev Ne'ir, of Ne'ir Shoklin Tachtehem. So the Gemara says to Reish Lakish, you can't be serious. I mean, I'm speaking a little too candidly, but you can't be serious, meaning, what did we just learn in our Mishnah? So v'lo'odi mishum shavuos takana. So the Gemara points out, Reish Lakish will tell you, of course I'm going to agree with the Mishnah, and of course the owner is going to have to dip into his pocket and take it again. But what Reish Lakish is going to argue, and the Gemara here is really, truth be told, is really terse. But the Gemara basically is arguing over here that's a din derabbanan, meaning that min haTorah, the argument is actually a legitimate argument. Min haTorah, you could say to the Beit HaMikdash, look, I set aside the machitz as a shekel, you own it. It just happens to be somewhere in my house right now. I don't know where it is, but it's yours. So I fulfilled my mitzvah. That's min haTorah. But the Chachamim said, okay, but that's still, it's not really acceptable. Meaning, you didn't actually give the machitz as a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So as a din derabbanan, you have to go and give the Beis HaMikdash money. Even if you already set aside once before. So in other words, basically what the Gemara says is that Lamaisa, practically speaking, there's no machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. There's a conceptual machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of whether or not the money didn't get to the Beis HaMikdash. Can you argue that, well, it... What do you mean? I set aside the money, belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I just can't find it. There's a conceptual machlokas, but practically speaking, there's really no machlokas. Tani Arishonu Noflim Le'Tiklin Charetim V'Ashnim Noflim Tiklin Atikin. Okay, and finally, the last part of the Mishnah, and that is, if the monies that were lost were recovered, so both the new monies that were set aside and the recovered monies are both going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. One is going to be designated as this year's money, and the other one is not. Well, which one's which? So, Eloi and Rishon, Eloi and Mishnin, Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Abba Mari, Abba Mari. The Gemara presents two Amorayim, and now the Gemara is going to present their viewpoints. Chana Amar Elo Sheshachu Bnei Ha'ir Tchila. One says the ones that sent the monies first. The Charana Amar, and the other say Elo Sheyili Yidei Gizbar Tchila, the one that gets to the Gizbar first. Okay, fine. So basically, a machlokas in terms of which one is going to be considered this year's shekel. We start now. The next mishnah in the parak, we're in the second parak of Shkalim, and again, the issues over here in the second parak are specific issues of how are the monies being transported to the Beis HaMikdash, and what were to happen if something were to happen to that money. So far we've discussed the shliach and his negligence, or just simply him not being careful, and his responsibility and the Baal Bais's responsibility. Now we discuss a little more somebody who's a little more underhanded. Okay, so Ben gives me a shekel, and he says to me, "Do me a favor. Could you give it on my behalf?" Sure, no problem at all. I go to the Beis HaMikdash, I present the shekel, and I say, here's my shekel. My shekel. Okay? Satisfying my obligation. Okay? So, but it's not mine. I'm claiming it's mine. So, what did I just do? That's called stealing. Let's call it what it is. I mean, I stole. Now, what kind of benefit am I getting? Meaning, what real benefit am I getting? Well, obviously, I saved myself a shekel. I no longer have to bring a shekel. But in terms of like physical hana, real hana, what hana am I getting? So the Gemara later on is going to ask that question. The Gemara is basically going to say, you know what's going to happen? They're not knocking on your door. Meaning, as we learned in the end of the previous parak, so they take mashkon, they take collateral from your house. The Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbarim, the treasures come into your house and they take things from you if you don't give the shekel. So now that I made the claim, this shekel belongs to me, so then now they're not coming to my house. So I benefited, okay? So I benefited from Hektish. Let's give it another name. So this is what's called Me'ila. I am Moab Hektish. I misappropriated Hektish. Whenever you misappropriate Hektish, that means you are now a violator of the Isser of the Torah of Me'ila. One, you have to make full restitution of that which you stole. Two, you have to add a chomesh, you have to add another 25%. I know, chomesh sounds like 20%. Okay, it's 25. You have to add another 25% in above and beyond that which you gave. And three, you have to bring a carbon me'ila. Okay, so you are official moa behektesh, if this in fact happens. So, al yidei atzma in mitra ma'atruma ma'al. So if Truma was taken off, so you are now officially a Mol Behekdesh. Now, all right, let's go to the next case, I'll come back. Hashoku Shukla Mena Hekdesh. Now, let's say you have Hekdesh in your house already. Okay? Meaning you set aside money as Hekdesh. Not for the mitzvah machitz, it's a shekel, just in other words, for just simply to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And then, by mistake, by accident, what you did is that you took that money which belongs to Hekdesh and you used it for your machitz as a shekel requirement. So once again, now you're a mol behekdesh. You misappropriated. Now I understand that you didn't here. There was no real malfeasance, meaning you didn't. You weren't. It wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. Still doesn't matter. Meaning when you benefit from hekdesh, you're a mol behekdesh. Now here it gets complicated and interesting, because the Mishnah over here says what happens that you're mol, but when are you mol? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you exactly when you're a mol. You're mol at the point when the animal was actually offered. Meaning, when your money not only makes its way to the Beis HaMikdash, not only makes it into the Lishka, not when the truma has been taken off, the withdrawal is taken off, but when the money is actually used to buy the animal, and when the animal is nikrav on the Mizbeach, then and only then are you mol behekdesh. So now the Mishnah, the two, if you hold these two cases in the Mishnah side by side, it's a little bit strange. Meaning the first case in the Mishnah, where I take Ben's coin and I use it for my benefit, what did the Mishnah say? That the moment that the Truma Lishkas is done, so then I'm mol behekdesh. At that point exactly is when I'm mol. But in the case where I take hektish, pre-existing hektish, and I use it to satisfy my machatzis hashakal obligation, so I'm mol hektish. But when am I mol behekdesh? Only when the animal is actually offered. So they take these two cases of the Mishnah, case number one, case number two in the Mishnah, side by side. They both agree that you're mol behekdesh. It's just a question of when you're mol behekdesh. At the point of the Trumas Alishka, or no, when the money is actually being used as a, and being bought, the carbon is bought with the money, and only when the carbon is actually offered. Is there a way to explain the discrepancy? The answer is yes. The answer is perhaps. There's a way to explain the discrepancy. Take a look at the Tiklan Chaditin where he deals with this, and you'll forgive me, but I'm going to just go on in the Mishnah. I'm just noting that it's a problem. It's definitely an issue. Now let's say by accident I take my Meiser Sheni money and I use it for my Machitzis HaShekel. No good. But here, Yochal Kenegdom, the solution is going to be real. It's simple. Literally, the Mishnah means you'll eat it. What does that mean? When we get to the Gemara, I'll explain what that means. We'll come back to that. Okay, we start with the Gemara. Let's see if we can finish this Gemara. Hashokel. Anantanina ninkavra behema v'tani debe rabbi im nitrima hachuma. The Gemara notes that I have a Mishnah, and the Gemara then quotes a Braisa. And they don't agree. Our Mishnah says, when are you Moel? Now we're going to focus on the second case of the Mishnah. When are you Moel? You're Moel at the time, not when the money gets to the Lishka, not when the Truma is done, when the withdrawal is done, but only when the carbon is purchased and offered. Then and only then you're Moel. Meanwhile, we have another Mishnah, or another Braisa, that says, no, you're Moel much earlier. You're Moel at the point of Truma, of withdrawal. That's when you're Moel. So, is there a way of explaining the discrepancy? Skip the parentheses. Mantam ma'im nitra ma'atruma Rabbi Shimon hi. So the Gemara says yes. The brisa that you just quoted is going like Rabbi Shimon dam Rabbi Shimon miyada yam mekabel ma'osav v'hakohanim zrizin hein. So the Gemara over here now cites the position of Rabbi Shimon. Let me just give a quick background over here so you understand what Rabbi Shimon's talking about and you'll understand what the issue is over here. Okay. Vendors to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash needs a lot of goods. Let's use flour as an example. Okay, they need flour. They need extensive amount of flour because all those menachos that are being offered in the Beis HaMikdash, the lechem aponim that's brought weekly, they need flour. So what do? They contract with vendors. So the vendors now are going to be bringing the flour, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to pay the vendor. Okay, good. The money that's being held right now by the vendor, his money? Yes, but not yet. In other words, according to the Tana Kama, which the Gemara here doesn't even quote, according to the Tana Kama, the vendor is holding the money, but he cannot spend it until the Beis HaMikdash actually uses the flour. Now, that's not usually how commerce works. Usually the way commerce works, the way I understand it, is that once you give them the flour, and once you take the money, the flour belongs to you and the money belongs to me. Okay, that's usually how commerce works. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, the laws of commerce are not always following general commerce law. And so here, the vendor cannot use the money until the Beis HaMikdash actually uses the flour. The reason why is because there's an extra level of responsibility held by the vendor to make sure that it's good flour that he gave, and that it was usable, and that the flour doesn't spoil. And yes, when you do business with the Beis HaMikdash, I hear myself making this point again and again. It's a zechus. It's a tremendous zechus. And man, is it a responsibility. So here's a perfect example where you got paid, but still you can't use the money until the item is used. So the Gemara says that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says, when are you moel? Only when the animal is offered. That's Rabbi Shimon. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa that says that no, you're moel the moment that the Beis HaMikdash withdraws against the money, that's anyone who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Right, the Tanakhama, if you will. Okay, so that's the basic difference. Gemara continues. This reason, Hain. Vikashi ilo agon evalosu shachaver v'shachtu stam alol l'shem balam rishonim mechaperes. The Gemara says, you know what? I am a little bit confused by all this discussion. Meaning, look. Okay, let's go back. Ben has, let's say, a carbon. I take the carbon, I bring it to the base of Mikshash, and I shacht it. Am I shechting my carbon? Obviously not. It's his carbon. So I don't understand, says the Gemara. Meaning, if I take Ben's money, Ben gives me a shekel, and he says, here, go bring this to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, sure. I go to the Beis HaMikdash, I smile, I say, here, it's mine. Who cares? Who cares what I say? Right? He gave, ultimately, when all is said and done, his shekel went to the Beis HaMikdash. So what difference does it make whether I say it's mine? Why am I mo'el behekdesh? So Amrav Yudanti Patir b'misuyam. So the Gemara says, well, the coin that I gave is identifiable, and they think it's actually mine. The Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, sure. Go to a Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah a couple days from now. This is one of my favorite scenes that we're going to be seeing over the course of the Mishnayos and Shkalim. Okay, now what happens, as I explained previously, all the money is collected into the Lishka, and then a withdrawal is made. Which means that only a fraction of those monies are actually going to be used for carbon. Doesn't matter. Meaning anyone who gave money or will give money to the Lishka is going to get a check for contributing to carbonos, even if your money is not actually used. Okay? Meaning the Beis HaMikdash just simply doesn't need all that money. The money will all be put to use, but in terms of money being used for carbon, only a fraction of the money is going to be used for carbon. Fine. What Rabbi Gamliel did, we'll see in just a couple days from now, is he stood at the front of the chamber, at the door of the chamber, while they were doing a truma. He made sure that his coin went into the withdrawal, went into the bucket that was used for withdrawal.
You could identify his coin.
So, and his coin could be identified. Now, is he better off than anybody else who contributed halachically?
No.
He just liked to see he liked to see his money go into the truma.
I think once he put in the put in the horn, it's not his money anymore.
Understood.
That's why I didn't put it.
Understood. So v'docho l'tocha kupa. That's what Rabbi Gamliel did. So the Gemara says here too, when Ben gives me the money to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm smiling and saying here it's mine. So we could say it's like Rabbi Gamliel. It's where the money was identifiable. And I get credited, and as I pointed out, the Gemara is going to point out. And how's that going to help me? It'll help me in life because I won't be getting knocks on my door. No one's going to be coming to my door. Okay, let's just quickly finish this up. The Gemara again, same basic question answer. How do you know the money went into the truma and be used for carbon? Now it happens to be the Reb Meir says that you're mol b'shirayim, which we'll talk about later on. But we don't hold like Rabbi Meir. So Odi b'misurim shabes shabes Rabbi Gamliel shayim et kafan v'term l'shma. Again, but we're going like the incident to Rabbi Gamliel, where I know that the money went into the truma. So ma nehane. The Gemara asked the question, what hana are we talking about? I'm Rabbi Avin, B'shem Rabbanan, the Taman, Mikem Shabbat, and Ru'uyan, Lamashkin, Velamashkino, Kemoshanan. The Gemara says, my hana. Right, Ben's right, it's his money, it's not my money, and it's not even his money, it's the Beis HaMikdash's money. But by me going and presenting the money as if it's mine, I get no knocks on my door. That's a huge benefit, huge. In terms of me bringing Maaser Sheni money and not being able to use that money, the Gemara explains that's a pasuk. It's a pasuk that I can't use it for my machitz as a shekel. So keitzer osa maybe sell shachulim v'omer maos maaser sheni b'chol makom shein yei mechulal and al salazu v'osa sella nitpas l'shem maaser sheni v'ashar nasu shkalim. So the Gemara says, and the solution is very simple. Maaser sheni is so transferable. So if by accident I gave maaser sheni money to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's very simple. Transfer the kedusha of the maaser sheni from those coins to other coins. Now those coins will be available for the kedusha of machitz is a shekel to go into those coins. Solution very simple.
You have to add a fifth to that.
I don't. It's a good question. I don't think so. He wants to know about chomish.
Oh.
Chomish. Okay. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Marav Tzikosh Baruch Hu, Zakr Sofi, Chacher ben Tor, Mr. Shanema, Nechafet, Maxiko, Yagdol, Torah, Vyadim.